Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Linda, and this is Soul in the City, and I'm so glad that you could come with us this evening to talk about God's amazing grace. You know, when I think about the grace of God and all that I have been through in my life and all the things that I've done, said, things I regretted, it almost makes me just want to say amen, and I'm going to go on and say it, amen, that God's grace and mercy, His astounding grace and mercy covers me in the midst of mess and madness. So before we get started, I'm going to allow you to hear Israel and New Breed and His grace. And then we'll come back and talk about God's amazing grace. Think on that.
Not for your
And that was Israel, A New Breed. And where would I be if not for your grace? You know, I don't know if you heard all the words to that song, but I just have to repeat some of them. Because when you think about it, where would you be if it not for the grace of God? And it says, it's that grace that redeems, grace that restores, grace that releases miracles, grace that restores your hopes and dreams. It's all in his grace and his mercy. As they say, Selah, pause and think on the thought that where would you be had it not been for the grace of God? You know, my grandmother used to say, that right there, that can make you want to holler right there when you think about all the things in your life that you've been through. Where would you be? Where would you be if it was not for the grace of God? So let's talk about the grace of God. And I'm going to have to play Israel, A New Breed one more time before we get off the air, just to let you listen to the words, because it is his grace that restores, that redeems, that brings us to salvation, that replenishes, that provides miracles. And grace, you know, the most popular definition that people say a lot of times is the unmerited favor. It's that unmerited meaning undeserving, favor of God on your life. And, you know, God does provide that unmerited favor and grace upon us. And it's one of the greatest gifts that God, Abba, when I get personal with God. You know, when you call God God, it's like you don't really have that personal relationship with him. But when you can call him Father, when you can relate to him in a relationship just like you would relate to those in your family, you have a deeper level with him. So I'm going to have to go ahead, because that's what I call him, Abba. He's my Abba. He's my Father. You may relate to God as Mother, Father, God, but it's the relationship. And that relationship, one of the gifts of that relationship with God is his grace. You know, it's the grace that happens, is there for you. It's bestowed upon you through his love for you. It is even in your immaturity, in your failure, in your disobedience. God's grace, that unmerited favor, is there for you. It's in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your wrong decisions. God provides his grace, that unmerited favor. It's that grace, that favor from God, that you really sometimes don't even understand or feel like you deserve it. That is the gift of it all. It's the grace that puts you in a place where you have a job that you know you were not qualified to get. Maybe you didn't have the education or whatever, but you got the job. And it was grace that kept you there and made you function in a level in your own strength you had no knowledge of. But God deposited and gave you everything you needed. That is his grace and mercy. That grace guides you through hard times. And you come out still standing. It's a knowledge and a wisdom that he bestows on you through his grace to do, to equip you for wherever you are, wherever needs be. It's his grace that takes you through the interruptions in your life and makes you land without burning. And, you know, as we talk about grace, like we said, it's the unmerited, undeserving favor of God on your life that he gives to those who know him, who are his children. We are the children of the Most High God, and he bestows this great gift of grace upon us. And grace is part of the character of God. It is a gift to man. God gives this grace as a gift. He wants his children to know him, and he gives this grace gift to mankind and to his angelic community as well. Grace is immutable. It's unchangeable. Grace just it is immutable and unchangeable. When you think about that, that it's nothing we can do or change, or it's not in our hands. It's all in the hands of God. grace is epitomized by the cross on Calvary. Grace is not only for the plan, it is not only the plan of redemption, but it's the work of redemption. You know, grace is more than that plan of redemption on the cross. It was the work of the whole redemption, the setting of us free. That work, that was the grace of God. While grace has always existed as a part of the character of God, epitomized on the cross, it is also expressed in a variety of forms. So let's talk about some of these forms in which we can see grace. There is common grace. It is the benevolence which is poured on all men regardless of their spiritual condition. That's the grace of God. No matter what your spiritual condition is, no matter what you've done, God's grace, if you're alive, if you're breathing, that's his grace. And that can be seen in Matthew 44 through 45. Then there is saving grace. It's the generous provision of salvation of all men. Saving grace is that generous, poured out salvation for men. It's secured by the divine intervention of God, as in Acts 15:11. But we believe we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is securing grace. And this is identified like in Romans 5, 1 through 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into his grace in which we stand. And we exalt in the hope and the glory of God. So the grace of God secures us. It makes us feel secure in him. You know, even when you mess up, you know that it's his grace that keeps you. That puts you in a place, you know, it's his grace that secures you to know that, hey, God loves me anyhow. I can still come to him. Even, Lord, I can repent and say, hey, I messed up here, but it's your grace that secures me. It's a security blanket for me. Then there's sanctifying grace. This is the grace which works within the true believer in such a way as to bring growth and maturity and progress in the process of becoming Christ-like. So it sanctifies you, it cleanses you, puts you on that trail to righteousness. And this can be seen as in 2 Peter 3:18, to grow in grace and knowledge. It's to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. And then there is serving grace. This is the enablement to minister in such a way as to manifest the life of our Lord through the saints as members of his body. So this is the grace to serve others, to serve your brother, man. We are all one body. We are all one in Christ. And God gives us grace even to serve in a capacity to show forth him and to help our brother man. So that is the serving grace, as seen in Ephesians 4:7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So we each have our own gifts that God gives us according to his measure, and we are one body. You know, the Bible says you can be a hand or I am the eye, but we are one body in Christ, and I need that hand and you need that eye in order to serve and to minister to others. Then there is sustaining grace. This is the grace given at special times of need, and especially during adversity and hardship. Thank God for sustaining grace. You know, it's the grace that sustains you in those hard places in life when you have about fallen on your feet and you don't know what else to do. It's that sustaining grace, the grace of God that kind of just like picks you up, holds you in, comforts you in those hard places of life. That is his sustaining grace. As in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And that was Paul saying that you know, the Lord said that, you know, my grace is sufficient. No matter what you're going through, no matter what it looks like, my grace is sufficient. In those places where you don't know how you're going to make it through this, my grace is sufficient that you can stand, be standing, stand firm, no matter what the path looks like. My grace is sufficient to hold you through those hard, tough places in life. His grace is sufficient. And you know, that just that saying alone has gotten me through some places. It's gotten me through a divorce when I didn't know what I was going to do. It helped me raise two kids. It helped me to, you know, help them through some hard places. I would always go back to, His grace is sufficient. Even when I have messed up, His grace is still sufficient, you know. In my weaknesses, He builds me up and gives me a strength and a comfort and a peace, as we say, that passes all understanding, because His grace is sufficient. Then that takes us to the point of, His grace is pure. If we were to describe grace to a chemist, it would be an element, not a compound. You know, a compound is something that you've mixed together, but grace would just be pure element of God's grace. It wouldn't be a compound. It wouldn't be something that we could mix up. It would be something that is pure. It's what we can build upon. An element you can build upon. A compound, you have to find something else to mix. Well, let me mix this and this and this and that again. But God's grace is an element of who He is. Grace is never a mixture of divine benevolence and human effort. You know, when we call ourselves giving grace to somebody that may have wronged us, that grace is kind of like, well, I'm going to forgive you this time kind of grace. That's that human effort. And then if they mess up again, then, you know, we cut them loose. Thank God that we are not God, because His grace, even though you may have messed up 70 times, He's still there and His grace covers you. You know, even though, you know, out of your pure heart you want to do some right things, but you've fallen, His grace sustains you. And it's the pure element that you can go back to. And because of His grace, it even calls regeneration, because there comes a point after you've messed up so many times that you don't want to mess up. Because you know God loves you so much that you don't even want to let Him down, just like you do your family members. You know, if you've been the black sheep of your family and you've messed up over and over, too, it's almost an expectation that you're going to mess up. There comes a place when, you know, even with that mama love, you know, that mama love loves you when, you know, when everybody else has put you and kicked you to the curb, mama love still loves you. But even beyond that mama love is God's love that holds you and secures you. And you reach a place at a certain point when you've messed up so many times that you just say, I can't do it anymore. God loves me and He allows me to come back time and time again. Then there becomes this stirring and this regeneration in your heart that you really desire to do the right thing because you love God that much. And you know that He loves you even more than you can know and comprehend. Romans 11:6 says, but it is by grace, it is no longer the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. So it's by His grace that we are who we are. He knows us. He made us. And it's by His grace, not our works. It's nothing that we can do to deserve His grace and His mercy. That alone just makes me just, oh. It's nothing that I can do to deserve His grace and His mercy. It is a free gift. You know, J.I. Packer describes grace this way. What is grace? In the New Testament, grace means God's love in action towards men who merit the opposite of grace. because we don't really deserve it sometimes. Grace means good morning, heaven. Grace means, I'm sorry, God moving heaven and earth to save sinners who could not lift a finger to save themselves. So that means that God loves you so much that He wants to see you. And when I say sin, to me, sin is that error in your thinking that makes you do wrong, act wrong, think wrong. And sin begins with that thinking, your thinking processes. You think wrong thoughts, then you produce wrong actions. And, you know, that those wrong actions come back to you. But God, He's grace. He would move heaven and earth to make you, to hold you, to see you do right and become a part of His righteousness. Grace means God sending His only Son to descend into the depths of hell on the cross so that we might be reconciled to God and receive God in heaven. And you know, when you think about Jesus on the cross, that right there was a hell right there, to endure what He did, even before the ascension. And, you know, sometimes hell is a mindset. You can sometimes place yourself in a hell with the way you think and act, you know, in the wrong thinking, the wrong actions, the wrong choices can bring hell into your life. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God has made Him be sin for us who never knew sin. And like I said, sin is that wrong thinking and action, that we may be made the righteousness of God. Because of Jesus, we've been made righteous with God in right standing. You know, so that we don't even have to go. It's His grace that puts us in right standing with Him, so that we don't even have to come in to Him with the false humility, "Oh, Lord God, I'm just a poor sinner." No, you're a son or a daughter of God. You're a son or daughter of the King. You're a King's kid, and He sees you because of what Christ did on the cross in right standing. And once you became connected to God through Christ, you became a new creation, a new creature. And you know, we have to get to the point where we stop seeing ourselves as this lonely sinner. "I ain't nothing but a sinner." We are a sinner. We have been saved by grace, but He's also made us the righteousness through Jesus. We are the righteousness of God. He sees us as His righteous children, and that's a grace work. Grace is sovereign. Whew, grace is sovereign. And is sovereignly bestowed on us. We have no claim on grace, and grace cannot contribute to anything that we can claim, meaning that it's only God that bestows this grace. And grace is sovereign. It rules and it is. It is because it is and because of who God is. Grace is the source of the righteousness that grace brings that righteousness to us. It's the source of righteousness. And the law is the standard. It's by grace that we're righteous in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus. So it's that grace, that gift of the grace, is the righteousness in which God sees us. It is a source. It's the source of the righteousness. Whereas the laws that we had, the Ten Commandments, they're the standard on which we could live. But God's grace is us being righteousness just by His grace. Grace is freely given to the human, to the humble. Grace is freely given to those who are humble. And, you know, that humility, you know, sometimes, "Oh, low is me," that is not really being humble. That's like a false humility. The humbleness is that, "God, You're sovereign. You're my all in all. You're one. But I am Your child." It's the the knowing who God is, not putting yourself above anybody, but at the same token, not putting yourself below anybody. It's not living in false humility, but it's being humble to know that I am no better than any other child that you have, but I am also great in his sight. I'm righteous in his sight. I'm deserving in his sight, and so are you. That's that humbleness. You know, it's not putting yourself above anybody, but it's also securing who you are in him and seeing who you are through him. Grace is always granted in harmony with God's other attributes, like holiness, righteousness, and justice. You know, grace is a part of the attributes of God, and it doesn't go against holiness. You know, it's not it's in harmony with the attributes of God. Grace is in harmony with justice. Grace is in harmony with his righteousness. Grace is in harmony with his holiness. Ooh, grace is his unmerited favor, as I go back through that definition again. And you know, some would say if we have grace, then we can really go on and do whatever we want to do and do wrong. But, you know, just as I stated earlier, if you love God and you've received his grace time and time again, then there becomes a regeneration in your spirit as you become more and more mature that you just want to do right because of the love of the Father. You want to do the right thing. So that I just wanted to come with a little bit about what grace is and how thankful I am to have grace. To God be the glory that he's given grace to me, to you, time and time again, that we know that this grace is a gift. It's nothing we deserved. It's nothing that we've earned. It is truly a gift from him. One of the greatest gifts that he gave us was his son, Jesus, who rose again. You know, we talk about the death on the cross, but also it's grace in the risen Savior that he showed us. He was our way shower that he showed us through the risen Savior that we can rise against any circumstance. That's a grace. That, you know, it's not always about the wrongdoing, but it's also a grace in the right doing, that he gives you wisdom, understanding, that he gives you divine plans and ideas. It's grace in the positive that you're bestowed with these great, great gifts within you that can bring you to your own personal greatness. It's rising to the occasion, as Jesus wrote. You know, there's grace even in the risen Savior and the whole plan of redemption and sanctification for his children. There's grace there. Amen. And thank God for his grace. And so those were some of the thoughts I had today about the amazing grace of God. And when you think about it, isn't it amazing that God has given us this gift that's inherently a part of him, his grace, and all that, you know, humanly we do, all that humanly we go through, it's grace, unmerited favor that sees us through, that sees us through the hard times, that sees us through the good times in life. It's his grace, that unmerited favor. So as we're about to say goodbye, and I'm going to play Israel and a New Breed as we go out, I just want you to first take a deep breath. We don't usually do this at the beginning of the program, but we're going to do it at the end of the program. Just to slow down, just to think on, we talked about God's grace. I just would like you to think about the grace of God and think on where would you be without his grace. Just take a moment just to think about that. You know, it's in the quietness and the stillness
that you really begin to understand. Think on those places where you know that if it was not for the grace of God, you would not have made it through. And say thank you. Think on the times when you knew in those hard places that something came up in your spirit and you knew that His grace was sufficient. Think on that time and say, thank you, God. And as we are about to end the program and go out listening to Israel, A New Breed, I'd like you to say this to yourself and think on this. His grace is sufficient. You know, if you're going through something right now, if you have questions on which way to go or how to turn, can I just say this and speak it into your spirit so that it manifests into your world and it becomes secure in your knowledge? His grace is sufficient. And I know I'm repeating it, but I wanted to go down deep in your spirit that again. His grace is sufficient. And breathe that in and out. And so now you have a blessed week. Be great because you serve a great God and He lives in you. Be powerful because you serve a powerful God that lives in you. And know as you make it through this week that His grace is so sufficient. I'm going to end the program with Israel and New Breed, and I just want to say it again just so it rings through to your spirit. His grace is sufficient. And we're going to end the program with Israel and New Breed, If Not For Your Grace. Listen to the words of that and let that take you out on the week. Jesus, where